Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Isaiah, All Things New. Thank you to Earl, Mike, Janet, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. Happy birthday to Ernie, Lynn, and Christina. At 10 o'clock on September 29th, we will be meeting at Great Lakes Christian High School for Alumni and Friends Weekend. Everyone is welcome. There will be no service that week at the John Street building.
Morning. Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout out or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open their eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or pray my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Dr. Charles Swindoll wrote this a number of years ago. Centuries ago, a little boy found himself in the midst of a vast crowd of people, larger than any group had ever seen. He had come out of curiosity, having heard that a man named Jesus was nearby. Not knowing how far he would have to travel or how long he would be gone, the boy had packed a small lunch for himself, a couple of small fish and some bread. Suddenly, a man tapped the lad on the shoulder and asked what he had in his hand. The next thing the boy knew, his lunch was feeding over 5,000 people. Once Jesus got hold of the boy's simple meal, there was no limit of what he could make of it. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Starting to get the idea that you're surrounded by folks getting giant things done while it's all you can do to make it through the day or even the week? Maybe you've fallen into a well of comparison and you're drowning in discouragement, because compared to whoever, you're not making nearly the difference he or she is. To all who feel overwhelmed or who are tempted to take a much too critical look at their lives and feel insignificant, take heart. Do what you can do, and God will bless it. Enjoy new things that will be coming your way. Both Old and New Testament talk about all things becoming new. It was N.T. Wright, this wonderful theologian, when he says this: heaven is wonderful, but it's not the end of the world. What about life after death? I said that the way I wanted to. What about life after death? He says, heaven is wonderful, But it isn't the end of the world. What about life, death? What about life after death? We are only a shadow of our future selves. So both Old and New Testament talk about all things becoming new. And I just want to read some of these scriptures today. Even though there is an Old Testament, it would be a mistake to suggest that the New Testament overshadows the Old Testament. Many of the wonderful promises we have in Scripture come from the Old Testament. There are many scriptures reminding us repeatedly through Scripture, God making all things new. Yes, even today. So my purpose is to talk about this newness of God, that one day all things will be made new. So here we go. In Psalm chapter 40, in verse 3, Scripture says, God put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. So Scripture talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And all throughout the Scriptures, we are hearing quietly newness, new things coming. But then when you get into the New Testament, it begins to spring louder and louder and louder that new things will be happening always. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. And then in the Old Testament, the amazing Isaiah says this, see, the former things have already taken place, and new things I declare, before they spring into being, I will announce them to you. All things becoming new. Isaiah 62, the nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name. Isaiah 65, one of the great scriptures in all of the Bible. See, and this is Old Testament, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a light, a delight, and its people a wonderful joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in all my people. And then these words. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. No more tears except tears of laughter. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more criticism. No more. I am making all things new. And if we could just remember this promise of God in our lives, I think it just gives us some comfort that all things will be new. We will see each other again. So, what happens when we pass away? Well, we go to be with the Lord. But Jesus, Paul, John, Isaiah, the Psalms, Ezekiel, Mark, Luke, and other books remind us there is something more. And it's this question. What about life after death? Zephaniah from the Old Testament, a book that we don't read very often, says, I will give you honor and praise among the people of the earth, and I will restore your future before your very eyes. We will have this wonderful future set in front of us. I will give you honor and praise among the people of the earth and restore your future. I will restore you, and I will restore and bring compassion to you. Then Hosea says the same thing. I will restore you and bring comfort to you. Zephaniah 2, the Lord their God will restore you. And then John writes, finally, somebody in the New Testament writes, because the Old Testament is giving us a look not only to the New Testament and not only to now, but what we will enjoy. All things becoming new, restored, remade in the presence of God. I was trying to think of words that would somehow communicate the words that we've just been reading, and I couldn't. All I could say was, thank you, Jesus. Death is not the end. There is the restoration of all things. Hosea says, I will restore you and bring comfort to you. So yes, many of our loved ones have passed, and we miss them every day. But we will see them again. All things will become new. When was the last time you read the book of Zephaniah? Long time for me, I'll say that. But here's what he says. The Lord their God will restore them. And after a while, and maybe it's already passed, you're saying, yeah, okay, we get it. But I didn't get it for a long time, and I forgot about it. And it's this continual reminder that even John says these words, because it was written by Jesus. I am making all things new. We maybe don't see it just yet, but it is a reality that will be coming to us. And then Jesus, when Jesus speaks, we listen. He said this, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of God, Jesus, sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on thrones. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, death is no longer an enemy. Jesus talks about the renewal. John talks about the restoration. And then in Romans, and if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, we have to stop. Is the Holy Spirit of God living in you or me? Well, that's the reality. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. And if he raised from the dead, we will also give life to our mortal bodies because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. It's this constant reminder that God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I'm always with you. And here's your future. Please know that your future is already written. God is giving it to us that all things will become new. I hope that brings some peace and some comfort and some assurance. It certainly does for me. So when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, a struggling church, he says this, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It will be raised imperishable, meaning you will never die again. That one day when we pass, we go to be with God and we will never die again. And we will be with our loved ones. And newness will surrender. A new heaven and a new earth will begin. So it will be with the resurrection. Death itself will be swallowed up in victory. Then the question is asked, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And God answers, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have no fear in death. We have no fear. We have the confidence of what Jesus said. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. Newness will be coming. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him in baptism and raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Go to be with heaven. But that's not the end. The wonderful theologian N.T. Wright reminds us that because of the resurrection of Jesus, death is no longer the enemy. And ultimately, because of the resurrection, there will be the renewal of all things. There will be no more death. But there will be newness. The redemption and liberation of all things. Just think of it. The renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the redemption of all things, the reconciliation of all things becoming new. In the Old Testament, when the word mountain appears, it's used often not just as a physical mountain, but something spectacular. And Isaiah saw this. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. And listen to this. And all nations will stream to it. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And we have the scriptures helping us with this. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord, from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and he'll settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation. And then listen to this. Nor will they train for war any more. Why? Because there is no more war. There is the newness of all things that God gives us through Jesus Christ. He talks about love in the Old Testament, Isaiah does. He talks about unity. He talks about peace. And he uses beautiful, colorful symbolism. Listen to this. The wolf will live with the lamb. You said, Don, you probably didn't read that right. The wolf will eat the lamb. No. No. That's not true at all. The wolf will become best friends with the lamb. The lamb will become best friends with the wolf. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion, the yearling together with no worries. And then listen to this. Babies will play near the hole of a cobra. Young children will put their hands into that viper's nest. But they will neither harm nor destroy on this holy mountain. They will be there. They will be their pet. Imagine what's being said. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. They won't have to ask the question, do you know the Lord? Because they will all know the Lord. This is our future that Christ will put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth because of Christ Jesus. So in Colossians it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile himself through his blood shed on the cross. And then again, there's this reminder of enemies turning out to be friends. Isaiah 19, enemies will become the friends. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. They will worship together. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed by Egypt, my people, and Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Countries that were going to war will never go to war again. They come together as one in the head of Christ Jesus. Isaiah again says this, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will create a new heaven and a new earth as his promise. I am making all things new. Jesus calls it the renewal of all things, Matthew 19. Peter calls it the restoration of all things, Acts 3. And Paul calls it the redemption and liberation and reconciliation of all things, a new heaven and a new earth. And then God speaks to us and says, you are my servant, and I have chosen you, not rejected you. So do not fear. And this is repeated all through Scripture, and that we often forget. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. The former things that have taken place and new things I will announce to you. Isn't that amazing? The renewal, revival, restoration of all things will take place and you and I will be part of it. That's just not me speaking. That's the Word of God, Old and New Testament alike. And when God promises, he keeps his promise. We know our future. Way back in the Old Testament, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness of the earth is gone. The Lord raises upon you, and this glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Hear the word of the Lord. Won't it be wonderful when that promise comes? The wonderful promise of God that all things, all things, all things will become new. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.